2022 or Death Holler brought us Season 3, Slash or Pass. It became the classic horror film podcast of its time. And now Death Holler brings us the most shocking season ever. Season 4, Dead or Dead.
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
Imagine, if you will, that one of the hosts is absolutely terrified of zombies.
So, what's the plan? Bashing in the head, that seems to work out.
No, except the fact there is no escaping this horror. Death Holler brings back the dead. Remember, when you're in Death Holler, listener discretion is advised. With hospitality like this, you'll never want to leave. We hope you stay alive.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Welcome back to Death Holler. I'm your host, the Reverend Dr. Death, and joining me, as always, from the 420 approved state of California, is my co-host, La Urena. How you doing out there in the weed capital of the United States?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they're lighting us up out here, but it's only May, and it's going to be a hot summer.
It's a little bit past that now, but for obvious, for reasons behind the scenes, faded month and day where all the stoners can celebrate their herb of choice. And since we haven't completely left April Fool's behind, Urena and I thought it'd be fun to visit a couple more zombie horror comedies. One in particular features a group of pot-smoking zombies and the possessed hand of a layabout slacker. So fire up the bong, get your favorite munchies, and join us as we review Idle Hands from 1999 and Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse from 2015. But first up, podcast plug. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd appreciate it if you'd take the time to like, comment, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you prefer. It helps us get more visibility on podcast listings and helps us grow. Also, consider following us on social media. You can find us on TikTok and Twitter under Death Holler Pod, and we can be found on Instagram and Facebook under Death Holler Podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens and hope you enjoy the show. First up, Idle Hands from 1999. Year I graduated.
Woohoo! Jesus.
Long time ago. Tagline, the touching story of a boy in his right hand.
That could be taken so wrong.
And they want you to take it that way. Directed by Rodman Flender, what a name. Written by Terry Hughes Burton and Ron Milbauer, with music by Graham Revell. Made for a budget of $25 million. This one stunk it up at the box office. Only made $4.2 million, so definitely did not give them the money back that they needed.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, what's his name? Devin Sawa was like, he was the ultimate, like, babe boy back in the day. So I'm surprised the numbers didn't come in from him, you know.
Jessica Alba was like a very up and coming person at the time, so she didn't have the draw, but I mean, people, they saw the draw once they, you know, after this movie, and especially Sin City came out. But I'm surprised that Seth Green didn't bring more people in. I mean, I know he's probably bigger now than he might have been in the late 90s, but there was a lot of people that knew of him back then.
Well, I mean, I don't know when Can't Hardly Wait came out. I feel like it was before this, but that was a fairly big film.
That was like 96 or something.
98 is when that was, so a year before this one. So they had a decent cast. I'm just wondering if, like, I'm not a fan of stoner films. This was, like, my first time fully getting through this film.
Uh-huh.
So I wonder if that's the case, because, I mean, there is a niche crowd for fucking, you know, stoner films.
There is a niche crowd, and I'll be honest, I'm not one for them either. There's a lot of stoner films. I mean, I can tolerate maybe one or two of Seth Rogen. I mean, another Seth, but Seth Rogen's pot movies.
Oh God!
And even with that, they, man, I can't watch them, you know, yeah, that often.
I didn't. 40-year-old, not 40-year-old, knocked up. I was like, really, you're gonna be a stoner fucking dad?
That, you know? That's not even like the worst one for him. Like Pineapple Express, yes, is a stoner
I never
movie.
Watched it because I knew what it was,
it's good, but I want to watch that movie maybe once every 5 years at best, and then I'm done. Like, I don't really need to see it again.
And this is coming from where it's legal where I live. I could smoke if I wanted to. I'm not a fan.
Another one that I hadn't watched in forever and is okay for a once in a, you know, 5 or 6 year span, maybe, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. I mean,
yeah,
like that one's really dumb at times, like super dumb.
I'm probably going to get so much hate from this, but yeah, I did not enjoy them. I've seen one of them. I know people that are big fans, and I'm happy for you. Like, I would not be like, that's stupid, don't watch that. I have no experience in it. So if you're enjoying that and you find the humor in it, I'm like, that's awesome, you know? It's just not for me. I don't know why. I'm not that conservative, I promise you.
I mean, I feel like just the way we're talking, I could tolerate them slightly better than you, but even with me, like, it's...
Yeah, well, you've actually watched them.
Yeah, it wears after. I mean, because going back, I mean, I just rewatched Harold and Kumar. I know this is a tangent, but it's you know, 420, y'all. I mean, it's part of it. But that whole scene where they've got the two hot British, you know, girls in whatever college that they go to, and I think Kumar's trying to get both of them laid, and they follow them into the toilet, and they just hear them play Battle Shits.
Oh, yeah.
Which is literally them, like, just laying out, like, the largest, nastiest wet farts and shitting that you've ever... I'm like, why did they think... somebody who was high had to have thought that was funny, because I watch it, and I'm like, this is lame, guys. This is pretty fucking lame. I mean, I don't even know if I liked it back in the day. I mean, it just kind of ruined the... Just like it does in the movie for the guys. It's like you see these two hot chicks, and then they, you know, do that, and you're like, all right. Boner gone.
Including the Cheech and Chong movies, I have not watched those. I don't like them. Like, even when I see, my husband thinks they're the best things ever. I don't think they're funny. I don't get any humor. But I do like Dude, Where's My Car? And there's another one. I mean,
I don't really feel like they smoke up in that. They're just retarded.
Yeah. I mean, Jay and Bob. I've seen.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely stoners, but I can tolerate them a little bit more because they don't get, like, super wasted and all their stuff.
I can tolerate Friday. It's not my favorite pastime. Obviously, there's a little bit of smoking in, what do you call it, the scary movie, you know, but I wouldn't call that a stoner film. That was just literally milliseconds, you know?
Yeah, it's like a scene.
Yeah, so I don't know, but yeah, I've tried, man. I can't get into them, so.
Yeah, it's the ones that take the concept and just the whole entire movie is about either scoring weed or, you know, something they have to do with it that idolizes the pot. It's just like, you know, all right, I get it. You like your pastime, but it's, you know, it if you're not doing that while you're watching the movie, I mean, it's not as funny as the, you know, the people who are partaking probably think it is.
Oh yeah. A whole ass tangent there.
But I mean, I do think that describes the box office. Also, it was a weird movie at the time. Cause it's a weird movie in general. It combines elements obviously stolen from, you know, Evil Dead, the possessed hand bit. It's got zombies in it, which is why we're covering it this season. Demonic possession, druidic priestesses played, you know, by, was it Vivica Fox?
Vivica Fox, yeah. She was a babe back then.
She's definitely one of those black don't crack representatives. Yeah. But, I mean, it's it's I mean, it's got a lot of weird stuff going for it. And I mean, the fact that the end of the movie, the evil hand is like a weird puppet with expressive eyes that change based upon its like mood. I mean, I could see why a lot of people initially saw it and they're like, okay, this is dumb.
Yeah.
It is one of those ones though that I think developed a cult following after it was out, and I think it made its a lot of its money back in the secondary market DVD. So we have Devin Sawa again playing Anton Tobias, the pot smoking slacker protagonist of the film. I don't even know if you can call him a protagonist. He doesn't really do a whole lot until the very end, and it's mostly Mick and P-Nub that kind of move the movie along.
Okay. We're splicketing the same lingety.
Even another thing in him before I list off the stuff that he's done, he wears the same outfit through the entire movie. He does not change his clothes. That gunk that gets on him at the beginning of the movie is there at the end along with more gunk. It's like when you get to the end of the movie and you see Jessica Alba kissing on him, you're like, how the fuck is she even? He's not taking a goddamn bath in like 3 days in this movie. Like, I mean, if you figure up like how many days the movie takes place over, he never once bathes or washes his clothes.
Okay, but it's Devin Sawa. He's a babe.
Okay.
No one's thinking about, no girl that watched this film was thinking about that. They're like, hell yeah, Devin Sawa. Like,
he was in, and this is funny, there's a lot of people in this movie that were also predominantly featured in music videos. He played Stan in the eponymous Stan video from Eminem.
I love that. I'm sorry, but that was one of his best fucking things he's done.
Yeah, it was. I mean, now he's
a lot of passion behind it.
Yeah, now he's kind of got TDS real bad, which is his claim to fame.
Shit, I didn't know that.
Well, not Devin Sawa necessarily, but Eminem.
Eminem, yeah.
Yeah, he's got real bad. Going to kill off Slim Shady, folks. So just be aware that his next album, he's going to kill that character off. He was in Slackers, which is appropriate given what he plays in this movie.
Yeah.
SLC Punk, which has Matthew Lillard, is a fucking great movie. Got a really bittersweet, sad ending. Final Destination, that's what a lot of horror fans know him from. Or if you're on the weenie side of horror, you know him from Casper.
The weenie side.
He was Casper. I mean, he was. He's been in the Chucky TV series recently.
Oh, sweet.
He's in another movie that we'll be covering this season called Black Friday with, Bruce Campbell.
Okay.
So, Exorcism of Molly Hartley and A Resurrection. So, Devin Sawa has definitely got into horror films.
Yes.
And another little tidbit about him is that he has put it out there that he would like to be, Kevin Bacon doesn't take the honors, he would like to be the next Freddy Krueger. He's thrown it out there.
He's older now, and I have seen him in a movie recently, and I was like, okay, he's still got the acting chops. I don't see him being Freddy Krueger.
Kevin Bacon would be way better. But
I agree. I got a question though. What season does Final Destination go under?
I don't know. I mean, if there's such a thing as death season, but I don't know that many movies that feature death besides, I mean, there's a few, but I don't know that there's a whole season's worth out of it. It's almost, it could be in the slasher genre. So I guess we could pick it back up then if no other time, but
I mean, death as a slasher. So maybe, I know Urban Legends, wouldn't that kind of go with that?
We didn't get around to covering Urban Legends the first go around on the slasher, genre. So.
Oh, yeah, because that was a slasher.
Yeah.
Fuck, I was thinking that it was legit like a Supernatural. Okay, Supernatural.
I mean, yeah, but
we'd have to have a Supernatural season, but that would be hard to fucking have.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
A really weird one. We have Jessica Alba playing Molly, the hot songwriter next door. She's got nothing to lose or whatever. So, or whatever Devin Sawa sings.
Oh, the song. Notebook. Oh, that was awful.
Yeah. Well, she did write that when she was she said 13 or something. She was in the Bad Blood video from old Taylor Swift.
And she looked just as good as she did at Sin City. They had them in those. They had them in those fucking tight outfits and shit. They did not fuck around.
T Swift knows how to whore out her friends.
She does. I mean, they're all fucking. They all look like models. So why the fuck not? You know.
Yeah, she was in Camp Nowhere. A very young version of her was in Camp Nowhere. Dark Angel. She was the main character on that TV series. Sin City and its prequel. Man, her is Nancy. Oh God, she's super hot. Machete, she was in that, or Machete. Fantastic Four in the sequel.
Oh God,
not really good movies. Yeah. Gazelle and the Eye. She's been in other horror movies, but her other horror movies have not been that great either.
Okay.
Seth Green plays Mick, one of Anton's only friends, and he's the smart one of the two, if you can call him that. He was in White and Nerdy from Weird Al.
Oh, he's in that song or that video?
That video, yeah.
Okay, so music video. Okay, that's where the music video part comes in.
Of course, he's over Robot Chicken. Which, Family Guy.
Well, Robot Chicken, I wanted to say, you and I had this discussion. I did not know until we reviewed Dawn of the Dead. Was it Dawn of the Dead? That his balking chicken song at the end is from the ending of Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
No gonk, fucking idea. The gonk. I'm over here singing it. I'm like, wait. This is that song. And then I message you immediately. You're like, oh, yeah, he's a big fan of it. And I was like, wow.
By the way, did you realize what him and Peanut were watching in this movie?
Oh, no. I did not know.
They were watching Dawn of the Dead. They were watching the scene where the one zombie is biting the woman's neck in the apartment building. And it's funny because when it cuts to Seth Green, I love it. He looks up and he's got something there that he's paying more attention to. But he looks up and sees the zombie eating somebody and he's a zombie. And he just kind of grins like, this is fucking ridiculous. And he goes back to what he's doing.
So unrealistic.
Actually, that's the reason I fell in love with Robot Chicken. I watched the first episode whenever they played, and I thought it was okay, but when they played the gonk at the end of it, mm-hmm. I was like, this is after my own heart. This guy gets, you know, nerd culture. I mean, he's got the gonk playing at the end
and
of it.
Gonk, so. The gonk is the one thing from Dawn of the Dead that I for sure remembered. I'm going to forget the zombies because the zombies scare the shit out of me. The sooner they're out of my head, the better. The gonk was the one thing I'm like, what the fuck is this bullshit-ass song? In this horror film, and then, of course, it's been in my brain for I don't even know how old I was when I saw it, and then Robot Chicken, I've been watching that since I was my kid's age. That's embarrassing.
I just remember what episode of Robot Chicken that will always stand out in my mind, and that's where the head of Walt Disney is unfrozen. Oh, it's put onto a robotic body. It goes down to Cuba so that it can try to track down Elian Gonzalez and eat his body or so. I don't remember the reason, but he keeps going, Elian, Elian.
No.
Seth Green's also the voice of Chris on Family Guy. I mean, has been for years.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I didn't realize this, but he is the voice of Howard the Duck in all of the properties that James Gunn has put Howard the Duck in.
Wow.
He was in the 2014 version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and played Leonardo in
that. That's the one that I like. It looks stupid. Don't get me wrong. The animation is not like it was back in the day. But that one, I think he was the one that helped produce it, too. He was one of the many.
I heard the stories were good in that one.
Oh, my God. They're amazing. It was so worth the not great animation. You actually kind of forgot about the animation because the stories were hella good.
Yeah, I need to give that a chance. I will say, I don't know. There's people out there that are defending Mutant Mayhem, the one that just came out. I don't like it at all.
It got good reviews. So, I know it's available for my kids to watch it. They were not interested in it. I am so surprised. Now, my daughter she's kind of, I don't know. It's hard to tell. She's a teenager, but she's not all like these teenagers where everything has to be very, I don't know, I don't want to get too political, left-wing. She's very much kind of in the middle. And even she was like, what the fuck did they do to April?
Oh, yeah, April Mill, as they like to say on the internet.
Yeah. Going back to better things, though, of Ninja Turtles, the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I want to say that the stories kind of tied into each other. So each episode, sometimes you had to wait to see the next one to know what the finale of that was. It wasn't just like a standalone episode.
That's pretty cool. Yes. They did that. They did that with the show Gargoyles in yes. one of the seasons.
I mean, and it built upon
the story.
It wasn't the whole season, but that's how, like, some of the episodes back when we were young of Ninja Turtles, some of them were standalone, but some of them kind of tied into a bigger story.
Yeah, and they might have done, like, the original one that I remember watching back yes. in the 80s, they might have done, like, a two- or three-parter, but they never really, like, connected yeah. them much
well,
more
well, that's
than
how
that.
This one was. It's like a two- or three-parter at max, but, like, they had a few episodes that kind of tied together, and I loved it because you're on edge, and when do you get that now? You don't. You have instant gratification from streaming.
Yeah, there is a lot of debate on the internet about whether you should the dumping all of them at once a la mm-hmm. Netflix or doing them week to week like Amazon Prime usually does is better. I think week to week because it gives you time to digest and build up anticipation. But
yeah,
I'm used to the older model and I felt like TV was more of a cooler, you know, water cooler moment back at, you know, back in the day than it is now.
Yeah, it was nice because my kids had to go back every day around the same time, flip on After School Cartoons. That was the channel. I don't know if it's still on, not Hulu, Pluto. And then they'd have to watch the episode to get the remainder of the story. And I was like, this is nostalgic. This is how it used to be.
I remember that's how Game of Thrones especially built up a lot of hype. Because week to week, people are like, what do you think is going to happen? What's this mean? Who's this? You know?
Yeah.
He was in the voice of one of the main characters in the Mass Effect games. He's in the movie Sex Drive, which I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I love his character in that movie because mm-hmm. he plays like this. They're supposed to be Amish, but he's actually an Amish mechanic. as weird as that sounds,
yeah.
I mean, I know that could be a Mennonite, but they talk about Rumspringa and like how on his Rumspringa he was a car dude and like he loved to do work on cars. So the main characters in the movie they need a car fixed, and even though he works on horse and you know just like buggies for horses, he still got enough of the knowledge from back whenever he was on Rumspringa to be able to fix their car, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
can't hardly wait. I love his character in that movie because he's so fucking dorky.
Yeah.
I saw a post the other day on the internet saying, did people in the 90s really go around wearing ski goggles? And people are like, no, just this guy. And he tried to make it happen. It didn't work.
I hate to tell you that was a thing at my high school, which we're not anywhere near snow.
I never saw it, but yeah. That, you know. I always just thought I think his character's name is Kenny or something, but he, you know, Special K is what he calls himself.
Special K.
Movie.
Oh my God.
Austin Powers, of course, he plays Scott. Powers in mm-hmm. that. Pretty good job. The Italian Job from 2003, he's in that. Buffy and Angel, he played Oz in both of those. His werewolf outfit was kind of janky for the time, but I mean, and he's a very small werewolf, so I wouldn't be too scared of him, but it was kind of cool to see him on there.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed, Tix, which is a movie that will give you the fucking absolute heebie-jeebies.
No.
If you don't like ticks because they are attacked by dog-sized ticks throughout the entire movie.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, I don't know. Am I wrong to think that, yes, you got a battle ahead of you, but at least it's not like teeny tiny ones. Millions of teeny tiny ones are just going to eat you. You know,
well, the thing is with this one, whenever their saliva, since it causes that, you know, anesthetic effect, since they're so much bigger, when they bite you, you basically pass out after a few seconds.
Ouch.
Of being bit from.
Okay,
them.
Well, at least so, you don't know what's happening to you. So, I mean, I'm down with that.
And then, of course, the It miniseries from 1990, because he played the, you know, young Richie Tozer, I think's the character he plays in that movie, but I could be wrong about that. But
yeah.
Beep beep Richie. Eldon Henson plays P-Nub, which is, and I'll give you the reason why his name's P-Nub here in the trivia, but he's Anton's dumb friend, the one that's so stoned that he's basically burned out. He plays Foggy Nelson in the Daredevil series. I didn't realize that was him until I got to look at it, and I was like, that is that guy.
Not watched it, so I couldn't comment.
He's also in the Mighty Ducks. Surely to God, you've watched the Mighty Ducks.
I have a million times, but I could not tell you any character other than Emilio Estevez if I tried.
The Butterfly Effect, Workaholics.
Is that a scary movie?
What's that?
Is The Butterfly Effect a scary movie?
It's borderline. I mean, I don't know. It's dark. It's got like some serial killer stuff in it, I think. So
I feel like I always mistake that with The Mothman Prophecies, and I don't even know that Mothman Prophecies is scary because I don't even think you get to see him in the movie.
I don't even know if that movie's about the Mothman. I think it's kind of
it's not.
Something else.
I just mistake the two for some reason. I don't know why. Probably because they both have wings and shit, you know.
Workaholics, he was in an episode of that. Lords of Dogtown, She's All That.
Oh my God. That was like 2000, 2001.
There she goes.
No. I like to think of a scary movie though when she has her first vibrator.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's in the
hilarious.
Cake and it's fucking, oh my God.
And he's in a horror movie called Rise Blood Hunter, which I don't know what that's about, but it looks like a ripoff of Blade or something. Yeah. So Jack Noseworthy, what a name, plays Randy, the metalhead / gearhead neighbor. He was in the video for Bon Jovi for Always.
I know who he is. That fucking music video gets under my fucking skin. Because he fucking cheats on his fucking girlfriend, gets caught on camera cheating on his girlfriend, wife, whatever she is. And then he's so fucking depressed that she left him. Motherfucker, you got caught. There's no It Wasn't Me by Shaggy fucking caught you, okay?
No denying that.
But I remember him because he's got a very distinctive look. I saw him in this and I was like, God, he looks like that. He looks like Bon Jovi in fucking Always video, but I guess that wasn't Bon Jovi.
He was also in Undercover Brother, and Event Horizon is the other horror movie that he was in.
Okay, wait. What's Event Horizon about? Because is that the alien one?
Well, no, it's actually they're in space and demon. They have somehow crossed over into a hell dimension while out in deep space, and now there is demons all in throughout the ship, basically, or people possessed by demons.
Okay,
so it's actually a demonic movie more than anything.
Okay,
just in outer space. Very fucking weird imagery in the movie. I mean, and sadly, some of the worst of it was cut before it went to, because they said that if they played the full, like, video, it would have really fucked people over. They had to cut it because there was people, like, passing out, supposedly, in the, you know, the previews of it and everything.
So is that the movie? I'm not 100%, but is that the movie that Daphne was talking about? There's a weird orgy scene or something?
I mean, probably. Okay. I mean, there is a scene where they're scratching each other and cutting each other, like, while they might be doing, like, orgy type stuff.
Okay, so that might be it, yeah. Okay, I've not seen it, obviously, so that's for whatever season we're doing, demon season.
Funny enough, Jack in real life is gay, and that, there's nothing funny about that, but it's funny in the movie that he uses the F word that, you know, you're not supposed to say.
Oh, that's funny.
I think he calls Anton that or something in the movie, but he calls somebody in the movie that. It's just kind of weird that he does, given what he is in real life or how he is. So Vivica A. Fox plays Debbie LeCour, how she say it? She says it's liqueur, but, like, he says liquor is what the police says,
yeah,
at the beginning of the movie. She is a druid priestess and a hot demon hunter in the movie.
She really is.
She's been in multiple music videos now, but I had to pick this one for obvious reason. Been Around the World by the Diddler. Diddy for all the rest of you folks.
Oh, you said
there.
Oh my God. Okay, now I'm like, what? Shut up. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I saw that and I'm like, I have to put this in here. I have to put it in here.
I'm going home.
Remember, folks, if he shows up at your house at night, you're fucked in more ways than one. Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, she was in those. The Slammin' Salmon.
Oh, yeah.
I just rewatched that. She plays, like, kind of an Oprah Winfrey type that is fucking, like, she's such a bitch because she's supposed to be, like, this nice celebrity and Colby Smolders, I think's her name, is, I think she's going to get like this big tip from her because she's ordering like the most expensive shit.
Yeah.
And then she has Michael Clark Duncan, who owns the place, comp her bill so that her bill is zero. And instead of doing the right thing and still tipping based upon what it would have been without the comp, she's like, what's 20% of zero? Oh, that's right. It's zero. And then she walks out of the place.
Fucking bitch.
You fucking bitch. She was in Don't Be a Menace, The South Central, While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood. That movie's so fucking funny. And Teaching Miss Tingle, and of course Independence Day, because she plays Will Smith's wife, mm-hmm. who is also a stripper.
Yes. And she saved the president. Well, at least the wife. Though the president, no, she couldn't save the wife. Whoops.
I think it was an older one, but like Red Letter Media was like breaking down like how bad Independence Day was on a script level. And they were like, why does it help anything to have Vivica A. Fox be a stripper in this movie? And I was like, you know, that's a good point. Like, other than the fact that it has some scenes where it shows more of her jugs off, like really what purpose did it serve to make her a stripper in that movie?
It didn't. It's just random storyline bullshit that, I mean, I thought it was funny when her and the first lady were having a conversation because, you know, the first lady, like the way she looked at her, like clutching her pearls, you know?
Yeah, it's like, I don't think I should associate with one of your kind. And what do you mean your kind? It's like, yeah. Stripper.
I have a random bit of facts, it is related to one of the actors in this film, which was, again, the one who was in Bon Jovi's Jack Noseworthy. Okay. He was married to Carla Gugino. Am I pronouncing that properly? And she's
close enough. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was in those movies by not movies, but the TV shows that we saw on Netflix. Fuck, The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of the Mike Flanagan stuff, including the new one, which is the Fall of the House of Usher.
Yes. Which I couldn't. Whatever. A little weird
that
for
was,
me.
That was so good. That was so good.
I think my husband liked it. It was kind of, I don't know, I was reading about the plot a little bit, and I was like, this sounds so weird. I'm sure after all, like, the weird club scenes and everything, it got better.
Yeah, I mean, if you have any inkling of what Edgar Allan Poe's stories are like, it should be, like, top watch. Okay. I mean, it is so good.
Have to give it a little watchy watch. I make no promises. I have a lot of work to do on this show, so you know.
but I didn't realize he was married to her. I wonder if that was before he realized what he was. I mean, you know, sexually, kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, just in the music video. Anyways, I think that was the one who he cheated.
Oh, in the music video,
yes,
I got you.
He's married. No, no, no.
In real life,
No. In the music video, he was married to her, and he cheats on her with Carrie Russell.
I don't know if that's a good trade. I mean, now at the time, Carla Gugino wasn't necessarily at her peak hotness, but
she wasn't. She was cute. She was pretty, but she was like, you know, cute, pretty, and Carrie Russell is Carrie Russell.
Yeah, she was the hotness factor way up there.
Yeah, and he completely regret. And I guess Carrie Russell was her friend. Look at this has nothing to do with this show, but I'm just laughing with how. Hey, they're all people that have been on our fucking podcast, okay?
That just reminds me of, like, I heard something. This is totally tangential related to all that, but like somebody was like on TikTok saying, what's the most toxic song that you, according to the lyrics, that you just always belt out when it comes on? And Lips of an Angel by Hinder was the one that they chose. And I'm like, that'd do it. That would do it.
That is not a good song.
It's a banger of a song, but it does not. No, the lyrics are awful.
Mine would be Escape, the Pina Colada song. Do you like pina coladas? It's a horrible song.
It really is horrible. Sean Whalen plays McMacy, one of the nerdy cops in this movie, and I bring him up because if you looked him,
I knew
he played Roach in the movie The People Under the Stairs.
I remember loving that film so much. I used to watch it over and over.
I don't know what season that almost human horror. Human horror.
That's a human horror.
Fred Willard plays, rounding out the cast of a lot of known celebrities in it. Fred Willard plays Dad Tobias. That's all they say. That they don't give him a real name. He's just Dad.
He's his dad.
And he's tired of Anton's shit, which I don't blame him. I'd be tired of his shit, too, because his son's a layabout and doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Fred Willard's been in a bunch of movies. Anchorman, Harold and Kumar, that we've already mentioned in a tangent. American Wedding. He plays Michelle's father in that movie or whatever, Allison Hannigan's character.
Oh, yeah.
Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. You know, he was also in that, as well as, Seth Green. Best in Show, A Mighty Wind. I'm surprised you're not a fan of Best in Show. It's a movie about those, like, dog, you know, competitions. Just, you know, making fun of, like, the whole spectacle of it. He was a voice in Monster House, which is a fun movie we'll cover some season. And Salem's Lot, the original 1979 TV show.
Oh, shit.
Fred Willard's been around for a while, folks. Synopsis. The world's laziest slacker has his right hand possessed by the devil because he obviously wasn't using it for anything constructive. His left hand's the one that he used for a little, you know, tension relief.
Oh, I was about to say smoking and token?
Well, he did that too, but mostly some tension relief.
Okay.
Now everyone... I love that scene where he walks up to Jack Noseworthy's character and he looks up at him. He's like, you playing a little two ball there, sports? Because he's like trying to keep his hand down in his pocket. Now everyone around Anton is dying and he has to figure out a way to stop his evil hand before it claims the love of his life. Which is she really? I mean, his whole goal in life is just to have some hot chick wait on him hand and foot. That's literally, and he doesn't even say it's to have him fuck him. It's just for them to wait on him. He states that in the movie.
Mexican, so he wasn't too far off.
With the help of his two zombie best buds, a neighbor who loves heavy metal and a hot demon hunter sets to track down the errant appendage, Anton might actually get off his sorry ass and accomplish something or smoke some pot. Anton is chilling, his hand is killing, and Jessica Alba is too hot to be the girl next door. The film that gives horror movies the finger, which is another tagline.
Oh, my God, that's a good one.
It actually is. You don't agree with me that Jessica Alba is a little too, like, Hollywood pretty for her? I mean, she's not, like, in this one, she's not so far out of range, but...
Oh, she is. I think she is far out of range because there is... Okay, so...
Well, for him, for sure. She's not in the same realm, but I mean.
Because they definitely downplay him. He was definitely a babe in that time. But Jessica Alba was the kind of girls that we saw in those magazines, Delias or Delias, whatever they were called, and just had that look to them that, you know, cutish, but, you know, definitely model worthy look to them in the 90s/2000s. And we wanted to look like them, but I'm only 5'4". Well, I'm not 5'4" anymore, but I'm only 5'2", and I was shaped like a potato on fucking toothpicks in high school, and I wanted to look like this girl. So yes, do I think she's way out of the league? Yes, she was an unrealist expectation for even the girls in California at this time.
Yeah, her friend who in the movie, the one that ends up getting like the devil outfit that ends up getting like chunked into the, you know, the fan into pieces or whatever, that Peanut is trying to get with. She's still like super pretty, but like she's a little bit more attainable.
Yes.
The only one in the movie that I felt like was truly a girl next door was probably that chick that, you know, was being filled up by the evil hand in the, you know, in the car.
Yeah, I mean, if they weren't
as tits too, by the way.
If they weren't as noticeable, then yes, they were probably a little closer to girl next door. Jessica Alba, I don't know anyone that looked like her in high school.
No.
Or wore the clothes that she was wearing, you know.
Yeah, she's a little too much, and I mean, for her to be considered that kind of character.
Yeah.
Other taglines, the comedy that gives horror films the backhand.
That's a good one.
I like the finger better. But,
yeah, the backhand's still funny, though.
Yeah, the devil will find work for idle hands to do, but what happens when he chooses the laziest teen slacker in the world to do his dirty work?
Too long, didn't read.
Yep. Get your hands on this hot new horror comedy.
I like that one. It's cute.
Quotes, Anton, hey, I didn't kill anybody on purpose, okay? And Mick's like, yeah, well, we weren't in hell. I mean, there was this bright light at the end of a long tunnel, right? And there was these chicks' voices in that music. And Anton's like, music? And P-Nub's like, yeah, kind of uncool music, like Enya. And those chicks' voices, they were saying, come to us, come towards the light. And Anton's like, so what happened? Mick says, we figured, fuck it. I mean, it was really far. That's the best explanation for why zombies are created I've ever heard.
Yeah,
they're so lazy they don't want to walk toward the light and they're just going to hop back in their bodies.
I could totally see me doing that. I'd be like, ugh, God. Is there food over there? Oh, there's food? Okay, I'm going. Like,
I also like this quote because, Enya, unless you were of our generation and you were listening to those late night infomercials, where they were talking about, and they play it on sometimes on TikTok, but it's like music for a generation. It's like, yeah. It's like all this new age shit. Like, they played that Enya song all the time on those commercials.
Yes, we had Enya's album, and we also had that album with all the hits on it. We had those. I'm pretty sure we got them from
Columbia House. Columbia House. She had to have got them.
Random House. Is that what it was? Where you got like 20 CDs for 99 cents, but you never fucking paid for it.
Well, you got them for that, but then you had to agree to buy 10 more at like $20 a piece.
Yeah.
And nobody ever finished them out, you know?
No, never. I wonder whatever happened to them. Like, they had to have
gone. Went out of business.
Yeah, big time.
I love this line in the movie, Mick holding an electric carving knife. Look at me. Look at me. I'm Leatherface.
So fucking annoying.
P-Nub, maybe we should clean that up. Mick, yeah, and while we're at it, let's just clean the whole fucking house. When he's talking about the microwave, that's like just like Anton's like microwaved his evil hand, and like, yes, it's just, there's nasty blood all over the place. They still put a burrito in there and heat it up.
Oh, yeah. Care. I mean, they're fucking dead. What are you going to do?
Anton, you lied to me. Mick says, you killed me. Let's try to keep this thing in perspective here.
I mean, he has a point.
Anton saying, devil girl with nothing to lose. She's got wind in her hair and gum on her shoes.
I wanted to punch him.
When he sung that, and I was like, so the thing that kills me about that is that he makes it out to sound like she's got like such like, you know, like profound lyrics in this like book that she has. And he sings that and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, there's no, this music is stupid that she's writing. I mean,
yep.
And he's a total simp, but that's how it goes.
Yeah. Well, he wanted some of that fucking. Yeah.
Hey, she had a backside. I mean, like she had some stuff there. So
It was a blink and you miss. It must have been.
It wasn't like Nicki Minaj level or anything.
Yeah, she doesn't have flapjacks though, so yeah.
Debbie, my work here is done. Time for the ritualistic sex. What the which is good for Jack's character because, he's been with her the entire movie, so he gets to enjoy that.
Yeah.
After the anticlimactic destruction of the hand, Mick, that's it? That's it. No explosions, no hellfire, no, you know, demonic sounds. And Mick's like, I mean, no, I'm glad everybody's all right, but that was weak.
I couldn't agree more.
Because it just disappears in a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
Mick, it's Mighty Joe Bong, which is for the pot humor of it. And then P-Nub, as usual, marijuana saves an otherwise disastrous day.
But did it? It didn't save the movie. I'm throwing that out there right now.
It doesn't make it an all-star film, no.
No.
Visuals. I love the zombie effects in the movie. I thought they were great.
The bottle in the head, the fucking cutoff head.
Which we will mention again in Scouts versus the Zombie Apocalypse. I'm pretty sure that stripper scene where he shoves a bottle in her head and her blood pours out is stole from this movie.
I didn't even think about it. Oh, my God.
And then the whole, like, cut off head that P-Nub has, yes. and how they have to, like, you know, like the stuff's like oozing out from the burrito, like when he eats. Yeah, they do. And even the hand itself,
the hand.
Which, by the way, I think this is in the trivia. The guy who did the hand in the Addams Family movies, I'm pretty sure is the same actor who did the hand in this.
That's awesome. I mean, it makes sense. You know, it looked like the hand, so, you know.
But the demonic hand looked good. The costume design for Miss Alba, you know, later on in the film when she's an angel. Well chosen, just saying.
I like how everything just rips off like it's fucking paper.
You know, they did that because they did like that thing where they ask audiences like what they would improve in the movie, like the test audiences. And they said three things. Pot needs to figure into the ending somehow to make it funnier. Her clothes need to be ripped off at some point because it's Jessica Alba and horny guys are watching the movie. And then there was one more thing, and they's like, okay, so that's the reason they have that scene where her clothes just get ripped off and you just, you know, see her basically in her underwear.
I hate to report that it didn't save the movie based off of the box office earnings.
But I can't fault the movie visually. I think they did a pretty good job with what they had. The griminess of like Anton's house, especially after like the first two or three days of all these dead bodies, and even the dead bodies. The dead bodies look pretty good in this movie. I mean that otherwise the ones that are not animated.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that it's set in Halloween.
Yes.
You know, Halloween vibes are always appreciated. Story is it's interesting. I mean it's basically Evil Dead meets, you know, Cheech and Chong, if you want to call it that. I mean, that's really what the movie is.
Yeah, okay. I can't disagree with that.
Which is not a bad concept for a movie. What do you think about the acting? Because I know overall, like the... But, well, story-wise, let's go back to this, because I know this is where the movie probably failed for you, because it fails for me. It's a little drawn out by the end. The pot humor grates, and then by the end of the movie, you're like... I would say this movie... has probably if it, like 20 or 30 minutes that if it was cut from the film, I probably wouldn't miss it.
I agree with you on that. The acting for me was hit or miss. I wasn't a fan of P-Nub, even though he was pretty active in the film. And I also was not a huge fan of Devon Sawa. I feel like, and this is just him as an actor, well, when he was younger, I should say, a lot of the ways he delivered things was pretty flat.
Yeah, it really was flat. He's way better in Black Friday than he is in this movie.
Well, yeah, like, he's older 100%. Now
yeah.
and everything. And I thought he was okay, better, I'll say, in, oh, God, why can't I think of the...
Final Destination.
Final Destination. A little bit more character to him. But I'm like, he's just a pretty face that the girls fucking... Literally, the magazines, I used to buy them back in the day. He was plastered all over them. They probably sold like fucking crazy. And so they're like, okay, well, this guy's hot. The girls fucking think he's a babe, so we're just going to throw him into a film.
I'll tell you, there's three people in this movie that save it for me. It's Seth Green all the way.
Yes.
He carries the movie.
Yes.
And even if he's not putting in, 100% of what he could do, he's putting in enough to keep your attention every time he's on screen.
Yeah.
Jack Noseworthy's character, the next door neighbor, the metalhead. I like him in the movie. He does a pretty good job.
Yes, every time
he's
I like on him. Screen.
It's not in this third one's not acting, but just eye candy, Jessica Alba, the movie. I mean, those are the three people that really saved the movie, honestly.
Yeah. Her acting is actually pretty terrible.
It's not great. It's,
no.
I mean, it's really funny in that scene where, I mean, we might as well discuss it now. Devon Sawa is such a non-protagonist in this movie that he wouldn't even get anywhere with a girl if it wasn't for his evil hand.
That is true.
Because his hand did all the work. How did you feel about this scene? Because I laughed at it now. Like back in the day, I was like, horny teenage guys, like, oh yeah, you know. But like, I look at it now, like 40-year-old man, and I just kind of laugh at it because the world don't work this way. He's inside her house. All of a sudden, he just slaps her ass and grabs it real hard, and she's like, "Oh, I didn't know you were that kind of guy." And like, she's all into it. I'm like, I could see. Well, some teenage girls maybe, but like, as scuzzy as he is and everything else in this movie, like, I don't see that getting him the points that it does in the movie.
I feel like I'm going to put myself out there. I just want to remind everybody that I was not a good person when I was a teenager, okay? We did a whole-ass podcast of it. I was kind of a bitch. Maybe not a bitch, but I was not a good person. Anyways, so I would have totally went for that. I was the girl that would have totally went for that, and especially a somewhat inexperienced guy, because I was definitely about taking guys' virginities.
Wow. Okay.
So she seemed to be into that. Like, he was.
She did.
He was clearly a virgin.
Yeah.
He had no fucking game whatsoever.
And she did like the fact that he was shy, and then whenever mm-hmm. he wasn't shy. Now, I do get that part, because, I mean, they're, you know, especially when girls are, you know, younger and it takes them a while to get out of this phase, they like the bad boy stuff, you know. So yeah. I get that.
And I don't feel like I was into the bad boy, thankfully. That wasn't a phase that I went through. I kind of liked the nice guys. I feel like they were kind of suckerish. And I wasn't trying to gain anything from them. I was actually trying to be in a relationship. So I at least get that much, you know. But if they were not, I liked smart guys. So if they weren't smart, I wasn't interested for very long. So I don't know. I feel like that makes me kind of a bitch, you know. I didn't mean to be, okay. I know. Ultimately, there was some decent intention, but I was a fucking teenage girl, and, like, look at what teenage boys do. They're always after fucking tail. Not every single one, but that's a primary thing, wouldn't you say so?
I mean, you are, I mean, 24/7, like, yeah. You know, that's all you think about for a while when
exactly.
you're a teenager.
So, and sometimes it causes guys to do things that are not ideal, you know, teenage boys, and fucking shit happens. Like, well, shit happened with me when I was a teenage girl, so what can I say? But yes, I would have definitely, when I saw that, I was like, holy shit, that's kind of like something I would do, only I was not hot like Jessica Alba at that age, so.
Well, let me throw it around this way then. Do you think a hot girl like her would be that into something like that? Yeah. I mean, because I feel like she's probably used to that sort of, well, it could go the other way. She might be so hot that no mm-hmm. guy ever comes up to her, and that'd be the only way it would work.
Yeah, that, and she's tired of the bad boys, and this guy is not crazy ugly looking. Yeah, he's a slacker, but, you know, clearly they can't dumb him down as much as they tried to for the film. So she's probably like, man, what is his deal? How do I, like, get him to pay attention? Because girls also like guys that don't pay attention to them. So if you're pretty, look at Kayla, okay? If you're pretty and a guy's not paying attention to you, they're like, why don't you like me? And what can I do to make you like me? So she might have fucking, I look at all I'm saying is I'm buying it.
Okay. All right. I thought that was one of the weaker moments, like, in the movie.
I could totally see that because I was thinking about it at first. I honestly thought, I was like, wait a second, that wouldn't happen. And I was like, wait a second. And then I thought all the ways that, yes, it could absolutely happen. I could totally see that being a thing. See where this goes.
But yeah, it's bad when your main character has to be so much of a slacker, though, that he's kind of like, especially even with Devin Sawa being like the main actor in the movie, like he's yeah. a charisma suck in the movie. That's pretty bad to me.
Yeah.
Music's on fire in this
movie.
Oh
yeah. This was a good soundtrack, which is so unfortunate given how it did not do well in the box office.
Yeah, I mean, they Rob Zombie, they had Offspring, they had Pop That Coochie. Yeah,
Pop That Coochie. So did you buy soundtracks? Were you into that?
A few, yeah.
Okay, I did. Can't Hardly Wait, which was a year after this, had a really good soundtrack. Or was it a year before? I don't know.
Year before. You said it was 98.
Really good soundtrack. And I'm like, I want to know. I wish there probably is. How did the soundtracks do for these films back in the day? Because you don't get soundtracks like this anymore. And we discussed this already.
I would say they probably sold pretty well, because if you like the bands that were generally, I mean, like this movie had a theme with its music, a lot of rock music, a lot of poppier type songs.
Yeah.
If you were into the music, there was, even if you didn't like a couple of them, there was enough to buy the CD based upon who was on there. And it was a good mix. So you were getting almost like the 90s version of Pandora.
Oh, yeah.
Like a certain radio station. Like if you were listening to Offspring radio, then it would probably play some of this music, like, just as the algorithm.
Yeah.
So I think it would have probably sold pretty well that way.
Yeah, and I feel like this would have been one of those albums, because, like, even if you didn't watch the movie, you kind of like, oh, here's a new soundtrack. You know, it was probably on the end shelf, you know, and you pick it up and you look at the back, you're like, holy fuck, these are actually really good songs, or these are people that I know. Yeah.
They probably made up some of the money from the, you know, the lackluster block, you know, box office sales.
Yeah.
Before we get into our final thoughts, some trivia. This is the same hand that appears in the Addams Family as Thing, played by magician Christopher Hart.
It's famous.
Jack Noseworthy and Katie Wright, who played Randy and Tanya respectively, did not know they were half siblings until they met on the set of this movie.
What the fuck?
That's some crazy shit.
How do you fight with, like, their half brother, half sister?
Yeah, like, they share parents. Like, they didn't even know that they had siblings.
That's insane. Dad, you got some fucking splaining to do.
This was filmed in the same neighborhood as the original Halloween from 78.
Hell yeah.
The school gym where the Halloween dance is held is the same gym that was used for the high school gym in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie,
and
the movie Jawbreaker
from 99. Wow, that's kind of cool.
The dish soap that Anton squirts into his mouth after attempting to smoke nutmeg and oregano is real dish soap. Sawa came up with a gag on the spot.
Ugh, that's fucking gross.
In September 2007, Seth Green told the Onion AV Club about the experience of filming Idle Hands. He said the best thing about the movie was that everybody working on it had a different vision statement. This is hilarious. We all thought we were making a different movie. Me and the boys, the other actors, Devin and Eldon, we were convinced we were making a high drama with some comedic elements, and we tried to make our relationship as lifelong best friends believable. The director, Rodman Flender, was attempting to make a throwback Italian horror film like a Dario Argento flick.
What the fuck?
The writers really wanted to be Heathers, and the studio was listening to the test marketing saying that they really wanted the zombies to be cuter and have more wacky antics, and apparently all the kids in the audience thought that there should be more pot smoking, that pot should save the day, and somewhere, somehow, Jessica Alba needed to get her top ripped off, and that's how the whole new ending got shot, where she's up on the car lift and gets her midsection ripped off, and pot saves the day. Like, I build a giant bong out of a carburetor, you know, and that's how he finished it. So
dumb.
I just love that description. So you got the main guy actors, they're like, oh man, this is going to be like this real deep, like, comedy drama. We're like lifelong best buds. And then the director's like, no, I want it to be like a throwback slasher, you know, or like a giallo film.
Yeah.
And then like the studio's like, you know, those zombies are kind of funny. How about we make them like more of the highlight of the movie?
You know,
it's, and then the audience is like, we want more pot, and we want Jessica Alba to be topless.
Of course. Well, I can understand Jessica Alba being topless. Like, you gotta have that. She's a babe. Maybe not topless. Obviously, she didn't get topless. She was in a bra, but, like, still. But, like, the pot saving the day, it didn't save the day. Like, who were they listening to? Was it, like, you know, a group of four people, and they're like, oh, well, two out of fucking, you know, 50% of the viewers said.
Two of the guys that were that had ripped bongs before they came in here said that pot needed to factor into saving the movie.
Yeah.
While Anton is vomiting in the bushes when P-Nub and Mick show up, Molly, played by Jessica Alba, can be seen far in the background on her balcony playing a bass guitar. This is a remnant from a deleted scene that was not shown in the movie.
Interesting. I did not catch that and probably wouldn't have even noticed.
It's very minimal. The trailer contains a scene of Mick and P-Nub ascending a heavenly staircase wearing football equipment. This is a scene from the alternate ending included on the DVD. Mick and P-Nub are watching Dawn of the Dead in 1978 on a TV in the movie.
I wonder if Seth Green was, like, even plotting Robot Chicken in his head.
It was probably somewhere, like, burning in his mind while he was, doing all this. Anton is watching Night of the Living Dead.
Of course he
is. On TV. Because you can. Because it's free.
Yes.
Both Eldon Henson's and Seth Green's characters' names, Mick and P-Nub, are based on the SNL skit where Eddie Murphy played Buckwheat from the Little Rascals, who sang popular at that time, anyway, songs that he wasn't understood half the time because he has a, you know, speech impediment. In one skit, he sings the song Looking for Love and sings, Wookin' Pnub and DeWong Places. It can be heard on the commentary that both Mix and Pnub's names are based on that skit, because if you say Mick and Pnub quickly, it almost sounds Wook and Pnub, you know, Mike and Pnub. There you go.
It's a little far-fetched, but okay.
That's where they got them from. Okay. So, you know. Devin Sawa's character is named after Anton LaVey, who's the founder of the Church of Satan. So there you go.
And in case all you folks out there are wondering, Anton LaVey was strongly against abortion.
He was very much into butt sex, though.
I bet.
Power bottom is what they said on the, what is that, the last podcast on the left. Those guys went into that big time.
Good for them.
When Anton drives the truck to the dance, it's actually a stunt double driving because Devin Sawa did not have a license at that time.
What the fuck? How old was he in this film?
Old enough.
Oh, my God. That's hella funny.
Although they share no scenes in idle hands, Sean Whalen, who plays Officer McMacy, and Joey Slotnick, who plays Burger Jungle Manager, both appeared in Twister from 96 as storm chasing scientists.
Oh, that's hella funny.
Which, by the way, we're getting a sequel to Twister this year called Twisters. So there you go.
Is it a sequel, or is it just like, it's got to be, huh? Like, cause are the originals going to be in there at all?
Well, they might link back to them or reference them because, you know, obviously Bill Paxton is no longer with us, RIP. Yeah. Additionally, Nicholas Sadler, who plays Officer Ruck, also appeared on their minor role in Twister as a part of a rival storm chasing team. So they really stole from the movie Twister whenever they were choosing people to work in this movie.
That's so funny.
When Anton, stunned after killing his two friends, walks into a support beam in his house, the thudding noise his body makes was not digitally added in after production. This is actually Devin Sawa walking into the solid wood support beam. Often when the cast would do a photo shoot or had to reshoot a scene after this one, Devin would start off by walking into the support beam over and over again to the point the editors working below the stage started to wonder what the fuck the noise was. Don't know why he did that, but hey, method acting,
I guess.
When Anton kills the two police officers, Pnub shouts out, "Go, go, Buffalo." This is a reference to a deleted scene in which Anton remembers the two police officers as the head and the ass of the school mascot, Go, Buffalo.
Oh, well, too bad there wasn't anything to kind of keep referencing that, but.
Yeah, there's no reason to keep it in the movie.
Yeah,
but.
Okay.
The film in which the main character kills his parents and his two best friends, albeit not intentionally, was delayed in its release because of Columbine happening around the same time as this movie coming out.
What does that have to do with the price of rice in China? Nothing.
How many movies? It's already like two or three movies we've talked about on this podcast were affected by Columbine. Like, they totally changed the plot of Scream 3 because of it. This movie was delayed because of, you know, people. Until he is in the hospital towards the end of the film, Anton never removes any article of clothing he puts on.
Wait. Oh, okay, yeah, and you did mention that already.
Yeah, he's scuzzy as fuck in this movie. My final thought, I'm going to go first. I like this movie well enough to watch it every once in a while, but it's at most a 3. It doesn't get above that for me. Like, I used to rank it higher, but I've seen better horror comedies. I think Shaun of the Dead just shit all over, like, my previous, like, idea of what a horror comedy was.
Yeah.
And now that I know what a 5 is on a horror comedy scale, I can't go back to this one and give it much higher than that.
This one is pretty bad for me. I've been handing out 5s. Like, these films are strippers really working for it, you know? This one's a good 1.5 for me because I was not feeling it at all. It was a struggle for me to watch this. It was a struggle for me to stay, you know, tuned into it. I actually did a rewatch of it in my closet while I'm hanging up clothes because I'm like, I need to get more of this film because I feel like I missed too much because I just couldn't focus the first time. So here I am focusing on hanging up my clothes, having way more fun doing that. Tell you what, I got those clothes hung up real fast. My closet was a mess, y'all. So, yeah,
You know what's funny is I did rewatch just because I thought I was missing something because I was like, I loved this movie back in the day. And I rewatched it even after that, you know, the second time, and I'm like, it's just missing something. It's not like, I mean, it's it's okay. Like, it, I mean, but it's not, I mean, like, it's cult status is more about, like, nostalgia, because, like, honestly, whenever I'm watching the movie and, like, some of the references to the late 90s stuff and, of course, the soundtrack, I actually got more enjoyment out of that than some of the stuff in the film.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I'm glad you said that, because I'm like, what the fuck am I? What this film? You end it. I mean, like, well, it ends okay, but like, it just feels like something's missing. Even though it could have been shorter, there was just a lot of useless stuff, a lot of filler, if you will.
I think the whole beginning of it almost knocks it right off the rails right off the bat, because you're not even following the main characters. Mm-mm. You're following the two parents, and it drags on for like 10 minutes or more. It's long.
It only dragged on that long because of how long it took the mom to dial 911, or I should just say 9-1.
9-1, and her hand's like all splayed out like she's got arthritis.
I was like, what is happening right now? They could have literally had her dial it like a normal human being, and she still could have got murdered before she hit the final one.
And some of the comedy just does not work at all. Like the scene in the movie where, I mean, Seth Green, like I said, he carries it for me, but at the same time, there is such a cringe joke in this movie where he looks up and he's like, we got to call 911. What's the number again?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, no. I got that. I was like, I don't know. A lot of the comedy kind of just flew right past me. I did think that the carburetor bong was funny.
That was funny, and them arguing about it was funny. It's like, okay, the ashtray I believed that you could make, but not this work of art, you know.
That made sense and everything, but it was, yeah, this movie, I definitely could see why it got bad reviews and got, you know, did not do well at the box office. Sucks for them. It had a great soundtrack. I think that for teenagers back then, this could have been a great film, but it did have to compete a lot. So this was 1999?
Oh, yeah. Same year that, of course, Jim fucked the pie, you know, American Pie, which, as far as a teen comedy goes, jokes still hold up in that movie. They still work. I mean, they might not to Gen Z because they're a little on the crude side, but Gen Z needs to put on their big boy and big girl pants and big they them pants and, you know, realize that you can be crude and be funny at the same time. Well, comedy's dead, folks, because of these fucking idiots. But yeah, the humor in that was better. There was better horror in 1999.
Oh, way better horror.
I know Scream was like in, you know, like going on at this time.
So we had The Haunting. We had, I don't know. I don't remember Rage Carrie. We had Jawbreakers. We had Sleepy Hollow. Let me see. Well, Lake Placid. Hold on, let me just go to the horror section because I'm kind of just swiping through. House on Haunted Hill. I already mentioned Sleepy Hollow.
House on Haunted Hill, solid out of that bunch. Yeah. For sure.
Wishmaster 2. Let me see. From Dusk Till Dawn 3, which I have not seen that one, so I can't. 2 and 3, apparently.
Yeah. Blood Money and that other one, they're okay. Yeah,
right. Stigmata was okay, but that I liked it. I remember liking it. I don't know if I would like it to this day. I already mentioned The Haunting. Let me see what else we have. Stir of Echoes, The Blair Witch. I mean, the blowout fucking horror film of that year.
Well, since you mentioned The Blair Witch, we know the other movie that came out that year was The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, so, Sixth Sense. That's the next one. Yeah. Let me see if there's anything else worth mentioning. There's some cool B-looking films on here, but yeah. And then of course, if you're not into fucking horror films, you had there was Big Daddy that came out, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, Superstar, Boondock Saints came out that year, The Green Mile. There was a lot of good fucking films. I mean, Phantom Menace came out that year. I don't know how well it did back then, but
it was a big thing back then.
It was. I remember it being, which, by the way, that's coming out. Oh, also, I don't know. Oh, it must be 25th anniversary because I'm nervous about releasing this. I'm going to release it. I'm putting it out ASAP. But I'm worried about releasing this episode because we are now at the 25th anniversary of Idle Hands having been made. So, and the reason why I say I'm nervous about putting it out is because there are so many other podcasts that are popping up with it. And I was like, son of a motherfucking bitch.
Yeah, they'll probably like sing the praises of it or something, though. I mean, like I said, Seth Green is the main, and when I go back and watch this, he's what keeps me invested in the movie. He really does.
Oh, definitely. A little BTS, but I am literally, as soon as we are finished recording and I edit in whatever I need to edit in, I will literally be releasing this episode. Even though this is a 420 episode, I will be releasing it April 30th, which is literally the 25th anniversary. The day
That's awesome. That is kind of funny.
So funny how that worked out for us. Thank you, random bullshit that kept us from recording, which is always the case, but that kind of worked out in our favor.
But I think it really is that better horror comedy. I mean, you could argue that better horror comedies came out before this. I mean, because you had American Werewolf in London, that was a better horror comedy than this. You had Gremlins, which is a better horror comedy. But I'm just saying that even the pot smoking element of it, Shaun of the Dead has that in Ed, and it's still a fucking much better movie. Like, it just shits all over this. I remember back in the day, I liked this movie pretty well. I thought it was pretty fun.
I think,
but
as a teenager, we could. Reverend, we didn't talk about Certified Good Boy Duke.
Well, throw him in there. What do you want to say about him?
That Duke was a certified good boy. What is up with Anton fucking pushing him towards what potentially could be the murderers?
Well, he did that, and also the hand. They, does it say that they killed the cat?
No.
But he does a number on that cat. Yeah. He does a real number
that
on
cat,
it.
He did the fucking helicopter with the cat, okay?
Yeah.
Fucking like, dirty. Bones. Poor Bones.
Then he has, like, the innuendos as he's talking to, like, Molly next door. He's I'm just messing with my pussy in your bush or whatever he says. And it's just like, okay.
You get it. It's probably why she was into him. She's like, oh, okay. He's a dirty boy. Hiding secrets.
That cracks me up so much when she's like, whenever he's sitting there trying to tie his hand up, she's like, you're kinky.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's always the quiet ones, you know? Anyways.
But it's average at best. It's
below average for me, but it had a lot of things going against it. It's a stoner film, which is funny because I did not know it was a stoner film. I know that sounds fucking stupid. Whatever. Come at me, okay? Actually, no, don't. Don't at me. But
even after I told you he's covering a 420 movie, okay.
I know, but I mean, it's like, I don't know. Whatever.
I'll say this. We it's on the second half of this podcast. I don't know when you released it, if you've released it already.
Nope, I've not released Scouts Guide
is a much better horror comedy than this.
100%. Yes. You'll have to wait to hear my review on that one, but
it's got as much boobage shown in the movie as this one does.
More.
The characters are more likable overall.
Yes.
And I would argue, I mean, the cocktail waitress on Hot versus Jessica Alba Hot might not get there, but her attitude shoots her up.
Better attitude, enough. And she's a little bit more relatable.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And the comedy works so much better in that movie, too. Like, if you can't laugh at seeing that janitor dancing the black, and I, in my mind, I hear it now because the way you say it,
Black Widow Baby.
Like, if you can't laugh when you see Blake Anderson dancing at the beginning of that movie and him singing, then you're funny bone shot. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
That was actually, it's hardly even related to the movie. I know it leads into something, which makes sense, but, like, I was like,
Let's do this. The 10-minute opening to Scouts Guide versus the 10-minute opening to this movie.
Oh,
which
God.
One would you rather watch?
I would watch Scouts Guide a million times over.
In fact, we were both in that Shudder group on Facebook where somebody pointed out that that Scouts Guide has one of the best openings to any movie, period. And I can't disagree with it. Mm-mm. I really can't.
Not at all. And you know, it's funny because the movie, it kind of starts with like a little ominous music and you're in this weird building. You know some shit's going to happen. And then that happens. I just hear the beat and I'm like, is this Black Widow? Widow. God damn it. Is this Black Widow? And then you just see him singing it. I'm like, this is awesome.
But then they have the payoff because there's a really fucking creepy ass zombie right at the beginning of the movie. So, yes, I mean,
it hops right into it. Oh, yeah.
Whereas this movie, like, you sit there fucking around with, like, Fred Willard and, his wife in the movie for, like, 10 minutes. And it's like a shittier version, honestly, of, which I know it came later, but Trick or Treat. The beginning scene of Trick or Treat where the couple, she tells him to, that she's going downstairs to put the Halloween decorations up for the night. And she tells him to put on the porno tape. And when he wakes up, he goes downstairs and finds that she's dead amongst the decorations.
Yeah.
It's pretty much this, but done better.
Yeah.
I mean, from this movie, it really is.
Yep.
So, if you might hear some other differing opinions, you might have differing opinions. They're all welcome. Just saying that for us, we have definitely seen much better horror comedies this season. And to be honest, some of the other movies we're going to cover that are not technically horror, we're not labeling as horror comedies, i.e. Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Horror comedies.
Exactly. And like I said, if you guys like this film, please do not take it to heart that we don't like it. These are literally, we don't tout to be fucking movie reviewers at all. We're just giving our opinion on whether we liked it or not. Of course, we'll say, definitely watch it. In fact, what do you think? Is this a definite watch? Is this how do we feel about that? Like, I would not rewatch this.
I think it's worth horror fans seeing once.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot you have to see at least once. I don't know that it is a film that I was like, please don't watch this.
As far as a guaranteed rewatch, this is not one that I would rewatch as much as I thought. I mean, mm-hmm. back in the day, I used to watch it a lot more. But like rewatching it for this podcast, I'm like, this can go in the Harold and Kumar like once every 5 years and I'd be good and not have to rewatch it, type thing.
If this were on TV during spooky season, I would change the channel.
That's a pretty bold statement.
Yeah, I did not enjoy it. And yeah, I mean, again, if you enjoy it, I'm more than happy for you. Like, I would like to enjoy things more.
And we're not pulling that shit that other, so-called critics do, where they're like, well, actually, there are several points in this script that are just totally wrong.
Yeah.
For instance, when the two cops die, why was no one sent this backup to the location of Anton's house to find out what happened to them? It's like, it's a horror movie.
It's a fun movie.
You're not supposed to think about that stupid shit. Just leave it be. I mean, I've heard so many people shitting on the Amazon, Fallout series because intellectual inconsistencies. It's like, you don't follow the property and you just told me by saying that you think that all of the raiders in the show should have been rapists. I mean, because that's not how they're portrayed in the fucking games. Even if they are supposed to be Mad Max types. I don't even remember that happening in Mad Max. I don't remember them going around Furiosa and saying, we're going to grape you. We're going to grape you real hard, bitch.
Oh,
you know, I don't remember that being a thing. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, not our cup of tea, not the highest one we'll have this season after a bunch of fives. I guess it's good that we have this so mm-hmm. that it shows we're not like going like, I love everything, because we obviously don't.
Yeah, it's been quite a streak of fives for me. And I guess technically not, because this kind of comes, before other episodes where I'll give a five. So, this just happens to land in the middle. But like, I've been handing out fives and that's rare. But it's also rare that I will give a horror comedy a do not rewatch.
Yeah, because that is the ones that we tend to prefer, on this podcast.
So that's where we stand.
All right, folks. With that, peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Doing shows, doing tricks to make us holler. On a given night, all for a dollar. Silicone breasts, all on the chest.
banging plenty. Girl, you know you've been had by me, so come and be my private dancer. I got some money if that's the answer. I really wanna be with you. I get hard after seeing you. How hard? Hard like a rock when you make that coochie pop. Pop that coochie, hey, pop that coochie, baby.